powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Happy Friday, everyone. It's a football Friday powered by the Snoqualmie Casino Sportsbook. We are, over 24 hours, but not much more than that, away from some really great football games. You got the Kraken going tonight. We are going to have plenty of talk about these upcoming games. Robert Turbin joining us at noon. Before we get to that, though, Bump, we got plenty to talk about when it comes to the conference championship round of the playoffs. You got two great games happening. And before I even get to them, of course, how are you? How are you doing? How are you feeling? Are you thriving?
Am I thriving? Nah. I got three kids at home today. Was not aware they didn't have school, but they're in the kitchen right now having breakfast and arguing and doing all that stuff. So if you hear Daddy Bump come out every now and then and holler and scream, just know I'm just disciplining my kids.
Just at home with the kids.
In the middle of a take, your kids are acting up. And you just have to pause.
Michael!
And be like, hey! Enough of that!
I would love peak dad radio. Nothing more I would love than just Bump in the middle of a hot take. Hey! What did I say? Who left the light on? Who left the hallway light on? That's exactly what it would be.
It's coming. Just be prepared.
Can't wait for it. I'm really, really excited for it. All right. Well, I know that we've talked about a lot of different kind of angles when it comes to these games, including players that we think that outside of quarterback who could have the biggest impact, the Achilles heels for all of these. But I wanted to look at the team as a whole, Bump, rather than individual players or head coaches or what have you, to talk about who has the most to gain and who has the most to lose and conference championship weekend. Let's start with who's got the most to gain. It is really hard for me not to look at the Eagles as the most to gain. They are the lowest seed. I know number three, still a division winner, but the lowest seed heading into this weekend's games. They nearly lost against a weak Baltimore Ravens team that, by the way, could have won the division as well. And I think that a lot of people thought, you know what, I don't see them returning to a Super Bowl. I don't see them making another deep Super Bowl push. I think that that was a really, really good year for them, but they have a lot of holes to patch and fill. And yet they're nearly back here. They are one game away from returning to the Super Bowl for another shot at their Lombardi Trophy. I'm going Bengals. Most to gain, least to lose. It's hard not to pick them. What say you?
So you say the Bengals have the most
to gain. Bengals with the most to gain.
I would say that the Eagles have the most to gain. And I say the Eagles because the Bengals were here last year. And yes, they had doubters at the beginning of the season. I was one of those doubters. But they've shown that this is part of their DNA. This is who they are now, right? Philadelphia, to me, is a team. When's the last time they were in this championship game? 2017 with a backup quarterback. And they have the most game because Jalen Hurts has the most game, I feel like, in this deal. He is trying to solidify himself as one of the quarterbacks you talk about when you talk about the elite. Now, he is an MVP candidate. We don't expect him to win this thing if he wasn't hurt the last two games. Who knows what this looks like? But I think the Bengals have a chance to kind of change the perception. Same with the Bengals, though. I think you can go either way with this one. But I'm just going with the Eagles just because of Jalen Hurts. People believe in Joe Burrow. I don't think there's any doubt about who he is. He'll be a great quarterback in this league for a long time. I think Jalen Hurts is a guy where everyone's like, okay, he's got to prove it. Can he go out there and can he win a big game? Can he lead this franchise? It is so much with the franchise during the offseason. You add A.J. Brown. Sirianni's done a good job over there. I just look at the Eagles as a team that traditionally, at least when I was growing up, they've always been a solid football team, but they fell off for a while.
Yeah.
And it's about Jalen Hurts. Can Jalen Hurts show the country that he is one of the dudes? So I'm going with the Eagles. I understand the Bengals, though. That makes sense.
Yeah. You're the lowest. Again, I say lowest seed as though three is somehow not still like a seed where you'd be hosting a wild card game, which they did. Someone said, you said the Eagles are number three. No. Eagles are number one. Bengals are the number three seed. You could say that the team with the most to lose has the most to gain. Logic would follow. That makes sense. But I think I viewed it as the teams with the most to lose also have higher expectations. And so it's not that the Bengals are playing with house money, but before their dominant win over the Bills, Do you think that the number of people who thought the Bengals would go to a Super Bowl and win is the same number that it is now? No.
Oh, no. Nah.
I think that that win did a complete, not a 180, but really reinforced the Bengals as a more serious contender than people were giving them credit for. So that's why you could say that the team, in my opinion, that has the most to lose also has the most to gain, but I don't necessarily think that. The team that has the most to lose, in my mind, Bump, the 49ers. You could make an easy case for any of these teams, but especially an easy case for Kansas City and the Eagles, given that both are the number one seed. It is hard, though, to look at the 49ers and not see a team that has been one of the best and most talented teams in the NFL for many years, has been to a conference championship game, either win or lost, but been to a conference championship game in three of the past four seasons, has been to a Super Bowl, and has not walked away with a Super Bowl win. Now, you could say, well, this team isn't going anywhere. They're going to be good next year. And you're right. I would absolutely predict that the 49ers would be a Super Bowl favorite next year. They aren't losing huge key players. But the other three teams, most especially in the AFC, the Bengals and Chiefs, have something the 49ers don't know that they have yet, which is a franchise quarterback that isn't going anywhere. Brock Purdy might be the guy, but we don't know for sure yet. So right now, the strength of the 49ers is Nick Bosa, right? Debo Samuel, George Kittle, the weapons they have offensive and defensively. Are all those weapons at full strength in here in 2028? Because I don't think Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes are going anywhere in 2028. So I think that's why I look at the 49ers as having the most to lose, is given where their talent is, I think they have a smaller window.
Yeah, I see that. I think their talent, all the names you mentioned, extends their window. Because they've shown that you can put a quarterback back there who just knows the game plan and they should be able to compete. I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I go with the Chiefs because 5 years in a row, you've been in this championship game. 5 years in a row. They're starting to remind me of like the Utah Jazz back in the 90s who just couldn't get over the hump beating the Chicago Bulls, you know? You get to this game five times and you continue to lose it, or you get to the Super Bowl and you lose it, then what are you? What's your legacy going to be? The team with one of the greatest quarterbacks in all the land but just couldn't win the big game more than one time. What's Andy Reid's legacy look like? Of course, he's going to go down as one of the best head coaches to ever do this, but it's like, man, for legacy's sake, I need this for Andy Reid. I need this for Pat Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks to play this game. He's got one Super Bowl, four MVPs. He loves the individual accolades, but he has one Super Bowl. That's going to be a knock for him. What do the great ones do? Like the really great ones, the guys that we consider the GOATs, they got multiple championships, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I look at the Kansas City Chiefs and I go, if you don't win it with this one, you don't win it this year, then what does next year look like? Because just like we talked about yesterday, once you start winning games, guys look for different contracts. They start to move on. They want more money. How long can Pat Mahomes carry this football team? Because it's Mahomes. It's Mahomes, and on defense, you got your guy Chris Jones over there. But Mahomes makes this go. The Niners look like the more complete team when you look at offense, defense, O-line, D-line, linebackers, receivers. So that's what makes me think, okay, they might have another crack or two at this thing. And I think the Chiefs ain't going nowhere. I think they're going to hang around. But it starts to become repetitive. Okay, Chiefs get to the championship game, don't get it done. They get to the Super Bowl, don't get it done.
How is it not repetitive with the 49ers, though? You know when the 49ers last won a Super Bowl? 1994. You know when the Chiefs last won? What, 2019 over the 49ers? I'm not saying Kansas City can't be in here, but I'm seeing a lot of people say, yeah, KC has the most to lose. They become the Packers if they lose, having a great regular season and can't get it done in the playoffs. How is that not what the 49ers are doing? Three conference championship games in 4 years, and you have no Super Bowl wins to show for it. At least the Chiefs have won.
Five in a row. That's why. And they've had down years. Like, the Chiefs are good every year.
But they got the Niners, Super Bowl. But
the Niners have been here before. They've been here before.
In 1994.
But 5 years, I'm talking about championship game. But 5 years, 5 years in a row, you can't say, okay, Niners are favored for this thing. 5 years in a row, you can look at the Chiefs and be like, all right, I expect them to win it. 5 years in a row, Vegas is like, yeah, they should probably win this thing. I don't think that the gap is too far. Like, if the Niners don't get this done.
No, I don't either.
Right? Then it's like, okay, you're in that conversation at this point. But just for comparison, I'm looking at the Niners and the Chiefs, and I go, okay, Niners, you're set up for success. You've been here before. It's not as consecutively as the Chiefs. But I think that's the deciding factor for me, is that, man, every year the Chiefs are here. And they got one Super Bowl to show for it. Mm-hmm. They got the best quarterback in the league.
That's, I disagree with you guys. I know that this is suddenly an unpopular opinion, which I wasn't expecting, but the 4-2-5, it's hands down the Chiefs. If they don't win it this year, Mahomes is going to go the way Aaron Rodgers did and never win another. Patrick Mahomes is 27 years old.
How old was Aaron when he won his?
Let's see, he's 36. He won in 2010, so 26 when he won his last one.
I'm saying it could be done.
What? So yeah, it can be done, sure. But I mean, does any part of you think that, for instance, McCarthy's a better head coach than Andy Reid?
Definitely not.
No, I think that the Chiefs, by virtue of having Andy Reid, have a better situation, a better marriage there between quarterback and head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they have a lot of great weapons. It's not just, Aaron Rodgers getting it done with one or two big weapons. It's Patrick Mahomes having five receivers with multiple touchdowns, and they aren't even getting the lion's share of targets. It is really hard for me not to look at the 49ers and say, you guys are getting away with this one because you had a very injury-riddled 2020 season where people were like, what are you going to do? Outside of that, you've had 3 out of 4 double-digit win seasons. Like, it's weird to me that people don't look at the 49ers and say, like, hey, like, the pressure's on. You know what I mean? Like, you've had this team that seems like a powerhouse year in and year out. I think the only reason that people don't see that same kind of pressure is because they haven't had the franchise quarterback that Patrick Mahomes has been. But Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Is Brock Purdy your guy? Is Nick Bosa going to be here in 5 years? You know what I mean? Like, to me, the 49ers have to capitalize on this moment more so than any other team, because I have no doubt in my mind the Chiefs can get back here next year. I wonder how much longer the 49ers can do this until they have their surefire quarterback.
Yeah, I think that with the 49ers, again, there's some things they do well that will stand the test of time. Now, guys got to be healthy, right? You got to get lucky, too, with this whole deal. Niners getting here. The reason why they haven't been here consecutively because guys have been banged up. The things that save the Chiefs is just Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. But I look at the Niners and I go, there is way too much talent over there for them not to come back. I think I'm giving them a one-year lease. They're on a one-year playoff lease. It's like, okay, you got 1 year to trick this thing off. If it doesn't happen this year, it is a disappointment. And I think it's more of a disappointment for Shanahan because of the way that we've crowned him as one of the best play callers in the game. So I think that's the difference right there. Like, Andy Reid is cemented. He's like, look, I've won my Super Bowl. I've been in Super Bowls. I've done this for 15, 20 years in a league. With Shanahan, it's like, yeah, how long can we continue to call you one of the best in the game and you not win a Super Bowl?
Right.
Imagine how we would look at Sean McVay.
Thank you. Change
the game. If he didn't win a Super Bowl, then it'd be different. So as far as the coaching legacy, I would say there's a lot of pressure on Shanahan. As far as the team goes, just because the Chiefs have been there so many times and haven't been able to get it done, they got a couple games on the Niners. I think you can go either way with this one, man. It's both these teams have a lot on the line right now. So it'd be perfect if they both met up in the Super Bowl and figured it out for us.
It's definitely one of my favorite conversations. Can I just say, I'm going to really miss when two of these four teams are knocked out of the playoffs bump, because I have loved our conversations all week long, and I understand that we haven't agreed on everything. We have agreed on quite a bit. These four teams I just find to be especially fascinating. It's not that I don't love Seattle and love talking about Seattle, and we're going to continue to kind of like integrate and mix Seattle and Seahawks angles with what these teams are doing, but I just find these teams fascinating, don't you?
Yeah, man, it's set up. You have four different styles. You know, you have four different teams, four different journeys. And I think that's what makes this thing interesting. You got four different quarterbacks. You got the AFC where it's all about that offense, even though don't sleep on the Chiefs defense and Chris Jones. You got the NFC where it's about complete team play and defense and running the football. So it's set up to be an interesting, what do they call this, championship weekend.
Yeah.
Four different teams, four different stories.
Absolutely. All right. Again, Robert Turbin is going to join us at noon to continue to talk about these games. But don't worry, we're continuing the conversation next with talking about what leadership looks like in the NFL. Right now, though, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, after reports surfaced yesterday that Sean Payton may not want the Broncos job because of a rumored power struggle with ownership, he denied those reports yesterday on Twitter. What's the real headline?
That's exactly what someone who is worried about a potential power struggle with a member of Broncos ownership would say. I don't believe you for a second, Sean. Tell us the truth.
Nah, Sean Payton's a vet. He knows how to work this game. He knows how to work the media. He knows what he's doing. The last thing you want to do is go out and throw somebody under the bus, because you never know when you might have to work with that person again or have an opportunity to work with that person. Sean Payton being a veteran, if I've learned anything throughout all my years of watching football and covering football, you don't really believe everything that the coaches and GMs and executives say to you. He's playing the game and he's doing it right. This is what you're supposed to do.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the Kraken close out their first half of the season with back-to-back games tonight and tomorrow against Calgary and Columbus. What's the real headline?
You guys aren't going to like it, but the Kraken could lose by a combined 15 goals in the first half of the season would still be a smashing success.
You looking at differential?
You know
that's
what it is?
That's what Bougie Maine told us yesterday.
Exactly. Not more specifically. I guess what I'm doing is saying that I am so impressed by how much they've improved from 2021 that no individual bad loss in a short time span like this could sway me on thinking that they've got a chance to push for the playoffs. Though, from our conversation with John Buchagross yesterday, not only, Bump, did you learn a lot of new hockey phrases that I expect you to use frequently throughout the next several days. Yeah, it's going to drive me crazy. But also, we learned that, like, they have a lot of good going for them. They got to figure out how to be more consistent with goaltending. That is what's going to be keeping them from going all the way, right? But for right now, how do you not sit and be happy with where they are?
Yeah, you got to be, especially going off of last year. What was the problem last year? They weren't putting the puck in the net. Now they're doing that. They're showing some depth. Matty Beniers is shown to be one of the better players in the league. And you're doing this all without Shane Wright. Shane Wright is still developing, right? He's not even with the team right now. So they've gone on some runs, a couple 7-8 game win streaks there. But you're right. Golden has been the shaky part. We'll see what Grubauer Jones, who's going to take the charge there. But, yeah, it's been a success. They're in the hunt for the playoffs. That's all you can ask for right now.
Do you guys think we'll see Matty Beniers at all this weekend?
He's scheduled
to play in the All-Star game, so that's coming up. Maybe they give him a couple nights rest.
I forgot we got to retaliate.
Yeah, well, we got to retaliate when we play Vancouver again.
No, Calgary. It's any Canadian can get it.
Oh, really?
Any Canadian can get it.
They don't know what's coming.
Pass that message along.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. The Panthers passed over interim head coach Steve Wilks despite his 6-6 record with the team a year ago and will instead hire former Colts head coach Frank Reich. What's the real headline?
In a league where Jeff Saturday became interim head coach and just had his second interview to be full-time head coach, is anyone surprised? And, Bump, I don't want to say that Frank Reich isn't clearly qualified to have this job. But what people are upset about is the bigger conversation about feeling like, what else can Steve Wilks do? Like, truly, what else can Steve Wilks do? And I think that people cherry pick and they say, well, there's lots of qualified people. What makes Steve Wilks more qualified than anyone else? But when you see recurring patterns in the NFL, it's less about Frank Reich not deserving it and more about how someone like Steve Wilks can ever truly establish himself and find that role.
No, it's... You're looking at Wilks, you're like, what else does he need to do to get another chance? There are coaches who get recycled in this league over and over and over again. That's why it all starts upstairs. I mean, that's why it's important that Carthon is over there with the Tennessee Titans. It's important that you have different type of representation when it comes to GM and executives, because people tend to really fall in line with people that they're used
to. They identify with.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. They identify with this guy. Doesn't make them bad people. I think that's human nature.
Yeah.
So I think that the more diversity that you have in these positions, the more diversity you're going to see at the head coach spot. But it all starts upstairs. The guy's making the decisions. And I think within the next 20 years, when a lot of these old school owners kind of move along in their lives and leadership is passed on to other people, we might see more of a change. But that's the thing about the NFL. A lot of these guys have owned these teams for a long time, and they come from a different time, and they go what they're comfortable with. And that might be what we're seeing here, because Wilkes is definitely qualified to get another shot as a head coach in this league.
That's the thing. It's always framed. I think there's a bad faith framing of this argument that is, oh, so you want people who aren't as qualified to get the jobs just for the sake of diversity, which is not the case at all. Steve Wilkes is qualified. We saw Steve Wilkes lead this team to a 6-6 record when the coach that was hired before him got them one win and win this franchise for how many years? 4-5 consecutive seasons? Never had more than that many wins.
Yep.
Like, they finished 7-10, which didn't look especially impressive, but they were pushing for the division toward the end of the year, which no one thought they'd be doing, most especially after trading Christian McCaffrey, their best player. Not only that, but Steve Wilkes did it with no one at quarterback. With an XFL star, God love the XFL, PJ Walker, at quarterback. With Sam Darnold at quarterback. And they still managed to get it done. And it is not about, you know, giving Steve Wilkes a job because you think, like, oh, pat on the back, good job, Steve Wilkes. It's because he's earned it. It's because he did a fantastic job, because he showed he can be a leader. And frankly, how many people have we seen go through this league, like you said, that are less qualified or that have failed elsewhere? And you just think, like, hey, like, I'm not hating on this guy getting another chance, but why not Wilkes? You know, why not this guy? Why not this other guy?
Yeah, his resume speaks for itself. End of the day, here's the thing. The owners can do what they want to do, right? There's no pressure on them to hire outside of what they're comfortable with. We just hope that eventually guys who have paid their dues in this league start to really, and don't even have to be black dude, man, anybody. I mean, you pay your dues. There were guys on that Colts coaching staff who've been in the NFL for 20 years, and they just got skipped over by a guy who talks football on ESPN. Jeff Saturday knows his football, but in no way was he on paper qualified to even sit at the table with some of these guys when it comes to leading a franchise. So that's the thing, man. The NFL, there's no rules. They do what they want to do. I guess when you own a company, you do. I can hire who I want to hire.
Mm-hmm.
But it just starts, there's a pattern that you start to see that just makes it seem like it's unfair for a lot of these dudes who've been grinding in this league forever.
Absolutely agree. Well, there is something changing in the NFL. You noticed this bump, and you actually thought, you know what, this is pretty cool. We're going to talk about what leadership looks like in today's NFL, why it's changed over the last couple of years, and why this playoff round especially showcases that, and it's really, really fascinating. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
It's a football Friday, powered by the Snoqualmie Casino Sportsbook. Bold take Friday. Speaking of, coming your way in 15 minutes. We are doing this for the conference round. You can get some fun Seahawks bold takes if you want to get those in. Obviously, Seattle not playing, but we want to keep it Seahawks focused. So you can go these four remaining games. My bold take is about the four remaining games. Bump, I'm guessing yours is. Two remaining games, four remaining teams. But if you want to go Seahawks offseason, that's cool too. So get those sent in. 866-979-3776. Bold takes coming up in 15 right now. Leadership has changed a lot from years past to today's NFL, Bump. Where did you find yourself noticing this most when you were looking at the final four teams?
Man, I'm just looking at the quarterbacks, and there are four different type of quarterbacks. You got Brock Purdy, who's probably the closest to what we were used to seeing at quarterback as far as personality. Then you have Jalen Hurts, you got Joe Burrow, and then you have Pat Mahomes. And I just started thinking about all the quarterbacks that I watched growing up who were labeled as great, right? I got a long list. Obviously, Tom Brady, John Elway, Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner, Russell Wilson, Troy Aikman, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Dan Marino, Joe Montana. All these guys were great in their own right, but there's something that they all had in common. They were like the cookie cutter, pocket passer, say the right things, dress a certain way type of quarterback, except for Aaron Rodgers. He's probably the curveball in all these quarterbacks. And I was watching a speech that Jalen Hurts made to his team, and just the way he was communicating with them, it didn't sound like Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. It didn't sound like Peyton Manning. My man's had a hoodie on with a chain, you know, and a lot of people look at just the physical and say, oh, that's not what a quarterback looks like. But if you listen to what he's saying, that's what a quarterback sounds like. Then I look at Joe Burrow. you know, coolest guy on the block. Not worried
also
about
with a chain.
Also with a chain and some glasses on, yeah. You know what I mean? And just, I appreciate that the NFL and the NBA does an even better job of this, allowing these young men to be themselves, to not have to talk like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They can still send the same message. They can still get 53 men in a locker room to follow them. But I'm watching them, and I appreciate that they're not being forced to look and sound a certain way. Pat Mahomes is like the quirkiest quarterback I've seen in a while, right? But he's allowed to do him. Brock Purdy is a cookie cutter. Good for him. It works for him. And he's allowed to be him. So I tip my hat to these coaches too, man. Kyle Shanahan, you watch him on the sidelines. He's got a fitted with a flat brim on his hat. You know what I'm saying? With the hoodie on himself. Look at Andy Reid. He's a big man with the glasses and the mustache. I just look at the NFL and I look at the leadership, and I appreciate where it is now. Because when I was growing up, I didn't see nothing like that. I mean, Michael Vick was the closest to different that we've seen, and him getting in trouble did not help the situation at all.
Yeah.
So people felt like they had to kind of get away from that look. But I just like that, just like we talk about how these four teams are completely different and how they got to this situation in this championship weekend. It's the same thing with the leadership. And I think that's more close to reality than back in the day when I was growing up, where most quarterbacks look and said and responded the same way. It's good to see, man. It shows just kids and guys growing up that, man, you can be you. As long as you're a good person, you work hard, you get guys to believe in you, you don't have to walk the same path that this guy did.
Now, you didn't play that long ago. I mean, the early 2000s, no teenager will believe this, but was not a really long time ago. What do you think has led to an increase in, I don't know if it's like diversity of thought, of representation, or even just individuality in the NFL over the last, I don't know, like 15, 16, 17 years even?
Yeah, I think that it's exposure. Like, people are allowed to see a different way of doing things. Like, when we were growing up, the internet was cool, but it was more for email and instant messaging.
Okay, it was for AIM, first of all, AIM.
AIM. You know what I mean? ASL? We didn't have access to what they're doing in Oklahoma, what they're doing in Florida, you know, what kids are doing in New York. So I think that because you're allowed to see different cultures and different regions of our country, you're like, oh, okay. There's a different way to do this. Kids are being exposed. Now, that can be good and bad. We're also getting kids getting exposed a whole bunch of stuff they shouldn't be exposed to. But that's probably for the news side of this station, not for us to talk about. But I think that has to do with it. And college coaches, I think it starts with them. Them taking a chance on guys who were probably deemed not fit to be in a leadership role. Those guys going to these homes and sitting on these couches and talking to these families and saying, all right, it doesn't have to look like it has the past 50 years. You can do your own thing. And it's cool to see, man. And just to look, I mean, look at our quarterbacks. I mean, you got Brock Purdy.
Right.
Iowa State, you know, Mr. Not going to smile in their interview. Looks damn near nervous. You know, wants to say the right
so
thing
young.
Every single time. You know, then you go to Joe Burrow, who, I don't want to be here. Just get me through this. You go to Pat Mahomes, who's just a weird individual, but I love it. You know, then you go to Jalen Hurts, who reminds me more of the guys that I grew up with. So I think it's cool, man. I think it's cool. And I tip my cap to the NFL more. These coaches and GMs for going out and seeking these guys.
That's what I was going to ask. What do you think is the split between talent that cannot be denied? No one was keeping, MVP Lamar Jackson from being great. Like, you couldn't deny that talent. There's no way you could look at what he could do and be like, I just don't like his personality. Because there's nothing wrong with his personality.
Yeah.
But he was himself. And he wasn't, you know, I don't even, Tom Brady or whatever. First of all, Tom Brady, as he's gotten older, John a little more, a little more personality.
Uh-huh.
That might be the Tom Brady players we're treated to as opposed to people in the media. But do you think it's been more talent that cannot be denied? Or has it also been maybe specific coaches, a coaching style? I mean, I guess where does coaching come into play with this? Because I think of Bill Belichick, and I don't think Bill Belichick's behind a diversity of identity and, you know, leadership in the NFL. But I look at someone like Pete Carroll and I think that he's had a hand in it. I look at other coaches around the league and think they've had a hand in it.
It comes down to one to win. That's what it comes down to. Coaches will explore anything when it comes to winning. And I think that coaches realize that you can win in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think coaches realize that the way, just the history of people, right? Things change every freaking decade. It seems like things are changing. So it's the coaches getting with the times and not being those old school coaches. You do it my way or the highway. Like, yeah, you have your standard and your philosophies and stuff, but the good coaches been with the times, right? They stay true to who they are. You can't compromise yourself, but they've been with the times and saying, look, I can win a ball game with this type of quarterback. To whereas 25, 30 years ago, there is no way you can win with that type of quarterback. Just look at sports in general. I mean, from basketball, the three-point line is crazy now, right? I remember when the Lakers hired all the Suns coach, D'Antoni. They hired D'Antoni. And it was just spread them out basketball. Boom, go, 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 go. They're calling them crazy. That's the way the game is played now because it worked, right? And then I think that's the same thing with the NFL. I remember when the Wildcat was introduced to the NFL. Mm. It worked for a little bit. People tried it. And then the mobile quarterback is introduced to the NFL. People are doing it. And now we're seeing quarterbacks who can do it all. So once you see it, and I think people start to train for it, you know, that's why if you're not a mobile quarterback in this league, you can still succeed, but you got to be able to move. Brock Purdy can move. You know what I'm saying? He's not a statue back there. Yeah. But once people see it and they see it work, they're like, okay, I'm more likely to give it a go. And I think that's what happened with the league and with these coaches. And it's just dope to see four different type of quarterbacks playing for a championship this weekend.
Well, and you can't even be a pure pocket passer anymore. And that, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think initially it was seen as somehow the quarterback position is being diluted in a way that takes away from, I don't know, like the trueness of being a quarterback. When really you look at how play has improved, would anyone say that there's ever been a better era of quarterbacking? Like, I know we've had great quarterbacks in the past that I'm not overlooking, right? Joe Montana, hello, these are amazing, amazing quarterbacks that we have in this rich history of the NFL. But like, who's arguing that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are somehow making that worse because they're so dynamic? Right. Who's arguing Jalen Hurts is making it worse or Lamar Jackson is making it worse?
If you are, I don't understand it. I love seeing Josh Allen do his thing. I love seeing him be able to do everything. Sit in the pocket, throw the football, get outside, throw the football, run a man over, mm-hmm. jump over a dude. You know, I love Patrick Mahomes being able to throw the ball from different arm slots. I love seeing Brock Purdy go through his progressions, get the ball out quickly, get outside the pocket, throw it away if nothing's there. I love Jalen Hurts scoring, 7-8 touchdowns on the ground in the NFL. And I think because the game has been shifted more, like the quarterback has more responsibility now in offense than they've ever had before, because a lot of teams are throwing the ball 40, 35, 40 times a game and getting the quarterback involved in the run game. So I think that the game is changing, and you see that with the coaching, you see that with personnel, and we're going to see that this weekend.
My only regret, because this conversation has to end since we're against the clock, is not talking about totally unrelated factors that may have led to this, like offensive line play coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I think that not in identity, but in the style of quarterback play has also impacted quarterbacks you have to find valuable, because offensive line play is not nearly as consistent as it used to be coming out of college. And I think that's also been a factor.
Right.
All right. We're shifting gears here, though. We're going to have a little fun with Bold Take Friday. Get your boldest takes, your boldest predictions in now. Text them to the Mackajacks text line, 866-979-3776. Now, you can go one of two ways. Bump and I are going to go with the conference championship games for our bold takes. If you want to go Seahawks offseason, you can also do that. We're going to mix it up a little bit so that you can still get some Seahawks takes in if you're feeling real strong about that one. Otherwise, feel free to sound off about these two games this weekend with your boldest take. Again, 866-979-3776. Bold Take Friday coming up next.
It's time for Bold Take Friday.
Take Friday. We got the conference championship games coming up, accepting your boldest takes, your boldest predictions about those games, as well as if you want the Seahawks offseason. 866-979-3776. That's the Mac and Jack's text line. Bump and I have ours. Before we get to them, though, I'm going to get us started with some from the text line. If Curtis likes it, and he thinks it's bold enough, you're going to get one of these. And if he doesn't, you get nothing but disappointed silence. It hurts. It hurts. I've experienced it before. All right, so let's go ahead and get to the first one here. This one is going to be about the NFC Conference title game. Bump, the Eagles are going to pitch the shutty and embarrass the 49ers. Purdy throws five picks. Ooh-wee. Five interceptions.
Well, I'm just Brock doing that because they said shutty.
Yes, Brock Purdy has thrown an interception this year in the first game in which he replaced Jimmy G. That might have been against the Chiefs, if I remember correctly. However, has not thrown a pick in the stretch of five games as a starter or in the postseason. However, look, my eyes saw Trevon Diggs drop a pick. But that would be his first, second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Yeah, man, five interceptions.
That's not happening, but
that
I like
would
it.
Be the biggest collapse after a great run that I could remember ever seeing. Like, that's ridiculous. Five, I don't think the offense will allow him to throw five. I think the play selection and the throws that Shanahan allows him or forces him to do just won't allow it. He'd have to have the worst game. You would have to have a screen picked off. You would have to have a fumble on a jet sweep. Like, it'd have to be a lot of stuff go wrong. I don't see five.
I don't see five either. I see a potential pick here. The Eagles weren't, like, exceptional with interceptions in particular, but were exceptional this year with overall takeaways and turnover differential. I absolutely see that continuing, and I think the pressure he'll be facing will be the most pressure he's faced by any defense, I would think. I mean, God, I'm trying to rack my mind. I mean, it's the best defensive. Will this be the best defensive line he's faced since becoming a starter?
I think so.
I think so, too.
We talked about the 70 sacks that these dudes have, so
Unreal.
I would assume so.
All right, let me get to one more bold take, then I want to hear yours. My bold prediction. This one is about the Seahawks offseason. Geno Smith takes $20 million or less, and the Hawks make it to the Super Bowl. Curtis, you're not giving that. Geno's not taking less than $20 million.
I don't think so.
No. It is a very bold take, though.
I would love to see them make the Super Bowl. Yeah,
I would love to see that.
I don't see the first part of that coming true.
I know.
Especially after Geno getting an award today from Pro Football Writers.
Tough question, but do you think that in order for the Seahawks to be really successful, they will be unable to pay Geno 30 plus?
Thirty plus is tough, man. I'm hovering around 30, 25 to 30 mil. I think once you start getting over 30. Things get a little tight, not as tight as people think it is when it comes with the salary cap, but you have to be able to go out and sign a big name on defense to help.
Yeah. All right. I got some more here, but let's hear your bold take, Bump. Let's see if Curtis actually gives it an air horn here. He's not being super liberal with it today. So
my bold take is that Patrick Mahomes plays in the first quarter, then he has to sit. Chad Henne comes in, throws two interceptions, and the Bengals make it to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow throws three for 330, and Joe Mixon has a 100-yard game.
I mean,
we don't want to wish injury on anybody.
I know, but I'm kind of sad. Not only was my bracket be busted, but I also so badly want to see Patrick Mahomes versus Burrow. Like, that's the game that I want to see.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I know. Oh, man, that's a bummer. That is a bummer.
What do you think becomes the narrative if Burrow beats Mahomes for the fourth consecutive time?
Well, I think that it will be impacted by whether Mahomes is playing. If Mahomes plays a full game, I think it becomes, hey, like, they aren't giving Burrow the crown, but, like, does he suddenly become, you know, the second best quarterback in the AFC instead of being this third or fourth place behind Allen? Or if Mahomes leaves early, like in Bump's prediction, Bump, tell me what you think. I don't know that Burrow is given as much credit as he's due.
Nah, if Mahomes leaves early,
even though he's not facing Mahomes,
but it's quarterback matchup. You know how this league works, how they sell this thing. Yeah. If he beats Mahomes, but Mahomes is out, then it's different. If he beats Mahomes straight up for a year, he's the best quarterback in the league. He's owned him. Three games already, he's beaten him. This will be the fourth time at his house to go to the Super Bowl. And then if he wins the Super Bowl, anybody say nothing to Joe.
All right.
At least for a year, he's the guy.
I have my bold take ready. My bold take for Bold Take Friday is a prediction also for the conference championship games. The two teams that account for more rushing yards than their opponent will not be advancing to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Okay. And
those teams are...
I'm going to say the Bengals rush for more than the Chiefs, and the 49ers rush for... No, the Eagles rush for more than the 49ers, and I think that both teams are eliminated. Right? I got a little creative with it. Got a little creative.
I like the creativity. If you guys could see Roger's face right now, he goes, do I push this button? Or
I think he felt bad. He felt bad for me. Now, am I saying this mostly so my bracket remains correct?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. Sure. Because right now I would probably take Philly and Cincinnati. But I think it is possible that both of these teams are good enough to overcome being outgained on the ground as well. Do I think definitively it'll happen? No, but I do think that Kansas City has so many receiving weapons that they could rush for fewer yards and make it. Likewise, I think that San Francisco has so many weapons that if they wanted to turn away from the ground game, which is a strength, they could still advance even if Jalen Hurts runs all over them.
Yep, I can see it.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let me get to Let's go to one more here. Oh, how about this one? Bold take. Bump surprises his kids with donuts for breakfast tomorrow.
Not going down. We got tournaments tomorrow. We got tournaments.
Not happening.
You wake up, you eat your overnight oats, okay? You drink water, Pedialyte, and get ready to play, son.
Yeah.
Well, and also I think their behavior today while they're home, yes, while you're working,
yeah,
will be very dependent on any sort of treat that comes their way tomorrow.
Facts.
I know. Shout out to all the bold takes we got. We got one about the Kraken, too. Going to be two fights in tonight's game. I like that one. But we have to wrap this up because instead we are heading to a conversation about quarterback. We've explored, we want to explore every single option the Seahawks have at quarterback. We have talked a ton about Geno Smith, about how much it could cost, about what happens if he walks, about why he should be here. But you know what? We're not giving someone else their due credit. That's next.